So this week in the Wicked Wardrobe, I'd like to welcome Yael in the UK. And I only know that because I listened to an interview recently that he did with James, an English gentleman. Yeah. So welcome
to
Get
In My Ears. It's so cozy in this in this little cupboard.
It's small, that's for sure. It gets hot in here, and not
intimate.
Always for the good reasons, but
I don't think there's a bad reason to get hot.
No. Well, you know,
I live in the UK.
I'm in Australia.
Horrible.
Well, I can tell you, in the middle of an Australian summer, this is not the best place to be. I'm going to have to work out some sort of, you know, soundless air situation.
I always forget that you guys have, like, Christmas in the summer, which is a completely bonkers concept to me.
Concept?
Yeah. It's like it was snowing here last week, and I'm like...
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Like, proper, like, white Christmas kind of snow.
Oh, God. Oh,
and you guys are there, like, in your boardies.
Just sweating it out. Going in the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is a different sort of concept. We have a family in the UK, and some came to visit us clearly more than 2 years ago, and they all jumped in the pool on Christmas Day.
That's
and got a photo of themselves because sent it back home. They're from Scotland, actually.
Yeah.
And they're just like, check us out, we're in a pool on Christmas Day.
If you got in a pool on Christmas Day, you would become a physical ice block in Scotland. You'd struggle to find a pool that wasn't frozen solid in Scotland on Christmas Day.
So. True. Right, they were very chuffed with themselves.
Yeah.
So
not surprised.
We've got a window into our pool from an interior window into it. So they, you know, all sort of dove down with their and put Santa hats on, and they were so impressed with themselves for Christmas. So, yeah. Anyway, side note. So welcome. That was a bit of banging on about
Thank
nothing.
You.
Welcome, y'all in the UK. I guess to kick things off. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you do? All that sort of basic information for people who don't know you or haven't come across you in this naughty audio space.
Oh, gosh. And there's a good chance that you haven't, because I'm still quite new, really. But yes, my name is Yael in the UK, or The Yael in the UK. For some reason, my Twitter handle is different to everything else, and I'm not sure why. It's like Yael in the UK on Twitter, and then everything else is The Yael in the UK. I don't know. I don't know why I did that.
I see.
Clearly a lapse of judgment. But I am a British voice actor, vocal artist, whatever VA actually stands for. I'm not sure I actually know. I make safe for work and non-safe for work content, mostly not safe for work content, because I'm a filthy, filthy boy. I've been around for a couple of months. About three or four now. What's interesting is I think that actually me and Bruce Chins started like almost at the same time. I think within like
a week
of each other. Yeah, I think it was I actually uploaded a couple of audios back in May and then really quickly panicked and took them down because I was like, what if my mum hears them?
First of all, why is your mother listening to naughty audio?
Well, I don't know.
I think that's the bigger question, isn't it?
Yeah, true. Hey, I mean, you know.
Well, look, more power to her then.
Yeah, if that's what she enjoys. But no, I just kind of had that panic of like, oh my God, what if my family find out that I'm making people orgasm on the internet? And that worried me. So I took them down. And then I came back in July, August, like middle of July, beginning of August, I think, kind of time. I think that was around the same time as Shins. So we've had like a kind of similar we also interact with a lot of the same people, so I think we've ended up in a kind of similar space. He's also just like a really lovely dude, so
he's extremely charming, and just I found that sort of interview with him and in interactions that I have with him, he's very down to earth and quite realistic, I think, in, you know, just figuring that we're just moaning into a mic, people, you know.
Yeah. I think it's
trying to make people feel good.
I think it's just like really refreshing to see people just treating it what it is, I think, like, you know.
Yeah. Like, what prompted you to come back after, you know, deleting those audios in May? What changed your mind to think, oh, I'm going to do this?
Well, I've always been, like, a very overtly sexual person. Like, mm-hmm. from as far back as I can remember, I've always, like, had interests in that, like, I was always mm-hmm. curious, like, as a kid, and I lost my virginity very young, and, like,
right.
I was, like, I was, like, 14, and, right. like, you know, I've always had that interest.
That curiosity.
Yeah, like, a curiosity. I'm, like, mm-hmm. really curious about all things sexual, like, about, like, people's yeah. kinks, about people's interests, about, like, different kinds of porn. Like, I just find it, like, really yeah. fascinating. It's like this weird taboo world that, like, nobody in their day-to-day yeah. life will talk about, but then, like, everybody yeah. does it, and I can't and I can't think of anything else that, like, is like that, really. So I just find it fascinating, and I also just, like, I got to a point where I was like, I'm so desensitized to porn at this point. Like, I need to find...
Do you mean, like, visual porn?
Yeah, like, I think there's a limit yeah. to visual porn that you don't get mm. with audio porn. And I think also people with audio porn are, like, a lot more creative. I think the scenarios mm-hmm. that they come up with and the performances that they put in are just, like, you have... I mean, suppose you don't have that visual element. So, one, sure. you're automatically, like, filling in all the blanks in your head in exactly the way you want them to be. And two, like, because that's the thing with audio, like, it only really gives you, like, 20% of the full experience, I think.
Yeah.
Like, but that's a good yeah, thing, great. Because you fill in the rest of the 80% in your head, mm. and actually, what's in your head is always going to be better than what's on the screen. Like, the number of times I've been watching, like, a porn video or something, and I've been like, oh, this is just... not lived up to my expectations of what I wanted from
yeah,
this.
I'm so disappointed. Yeah. yeah.
Or there's like 30 seconds of what I actually like and then 10 minutes yeah. of shit I don't care about.
Yeah.
Sorry, am I allowed to swear, by the way? I didn't.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, go. Well, great. Fuck it. Why not?
Great. I always like, I forget and then I'm like, oh, I better check just in case. Like, this is a safe word.
No, we're not the BBC. We're good.
Oh my God. Yeah. Thank God we're not the BBC.
Exactly.
But yeah, so I think, like, you know, I find audio porn, like, really, really fascinating. I think it's one of the best yeah. ways of engaging with it, because I think encouraging people to use their imagination in general in life is a good thing mm. anyway. But I just think it's a better way to access the kind of sexual parts of your brain that, like...
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think video porn is very limiting.
Aside from the, you know, very poor acting yeah. that, yeah, which it sort of gets you into that.
I'm
post,
so
yeah.
glad that Shin's picked up on as well, because I was like, that is, mm. when I was listening to the interview with Shin's, I was like, that is exactly how I feel about this. Like, the mm. number of times I watch, like, a porn and I'm like, oh, okay, great concept, really interested in mm. the narrative, because narrative is super important to me in porn.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm so invested, and then it's like, oh my God, I just want you to take your penis and put it in my vagina. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't.
You need to do a shit pose like that.
Oh, I always get in trouble for my shit pose. I did, like, an Elmo shit post on Twitter. And
I think we talked yeah. about that. I think I sort of chimed in on that conversation, actually, between the two. Someone was going to do, one of you going to do Oscar?
Yeah.
I was going to do, yeah.
I was just, and then someone asked me to do Dexter's Lab, and I was like, oh. that's a whole nother thing.
Whoa, Dee-dee. Slow your roll, people. Just...
yeah.
Wow. Well, that's really, so you just, because you've always had that inherent sort of curiosity with yeah. it, why return to the space after that's like, are you not concerned your mum might hear you now? Or
I still am concerned. Yeah. I think that people in my day-to-day life will hear it, yeah. especially like certain kinds of things, you know. I have like, I don't know if it's the same across the world, but like in the UK there's like a real thing of being like being a dick to your friends. Like, the friends that you're best yeah. friends with, you are a dick to them constantly, and that's like a given thing in the UK,
because you can, because yeah, they're your friends.
Exactly.
And they're gonna be there.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, that's a bit of an Australian thing too. It's like, yeah, righto.
And there's just a couple of friends that I think of, and I'm like, if they knew what I did, I would never hear the end of it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
just forget about it.
They would ruin me. Yeah. Especially like the M sub ones. Do you know what I mean? Where I'm like, oh yeah. Like,
could you imagine?
Fuck me with a strap on, mommy. And like, they'd be like, they'd just ruin me.
You'd
forever.
Be down the pub, yeah. And they'd be just come and whisper in your ear.
Yeah. Fuck me with a strap on, mommy. And like, oh God. So I still am concerned about it, but I just enjoy it so much. And I enjoy the community so much. Like, I just think
were you surprised at the response to your initial sort of posting?
I mean, I'm an incredibly self-deprecating person, so it's a weird one because in a similar way to Shin's, normally, like not maybe not as much as what he said, but normally when I do something, I get it right. Like I'll be
sure.
good at it,
yeah.
Because I work really hard. I engage myself,
yeah.
And I do it to the utmost of my ability, and and I go the extra mile if I can. So generally speaking, that amount of work pays off. Sometimes I'm just naturally good at stuff, which is great. Sometimes I'm not, but I work hard. I wasn't expecting the response that I got. It was wild, actually. Like, I put up an audio, and this was when I came back, and I put up an audio, and I got like 100 followers in like a week, and at the time I was brilliant. Like, oh my God, this is amazing, and then a week later I had 1,000, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
yeah,
what
I did notice that, yeah, wow, yeah, kind of exponential growth,
yeah,
right?
And it's weird because like, I genuinely didn't expect, I thought people would be like, who is this British fuck trying to be sexy? Like, you know, I think like I am quite a sexy person in real life. Like, if I get in the bedroom with someone, like I'm into a lot of wild shit, and I'm very vocal, and I like to talk, and I know that I've got like a voice that's quite deep, and that people like that typically. But the thought of like just my voice coming out across, I was like, I don't know if that's gonna translate at all. But I basically
I think it does, yeah. Well, okay, so go on.
Well, I'm very pleased that it does. But no, I try not to ever have expectations too much,
sure,
because
I can just leads to disappointment, yeah. I think in general in life,
and without going into too much detail, a lot of my work, my real life work, involves a similar kind of thing. Like I'm in performance and theatre and stuff as a range of different capacities. So I know how not fickle an audience can be, but actually like how easy it is to miss your audience with your content.
Yes.
So I was like not banking on anything particularly,
sure.
But basically the reason why I got into it in the first place was I made like a safe for work relaxation like nighttime audio for a friend of mine. So literally a couple of minutes long, and it's just like, you know, it's the end of a long day and we're here and I'm here with you and we're just gonna you know, relax and all that kind of stuff. Their name wasn't in it, so it you know what I mean, I sent it to a few people after that just to kind of see what they thought, and a few friends of mine were like, hey, you should, online friends were like, you should get into this thing GWA, and then another friend of mine introduced me to like NSFW Twitter, and like basically a bunch of people that I know went, hey, go to this place, put your voice here, use this website, like, do this,
upload this,
yeah, yes, exactly,
now.
And I was like, okay, cool, right.
Were you aware of GWA and naughty Twitter and,
no,
and that sort of
not
space
at all?
Oh really? Like, so you hadn't been a listener for a good long while? I'm finding most of the creators I'm interviewing are
literally
have been.
My first interaction with GWA was to like, I think I listened to an audio when I got to the website to see what it was about, and then I uploaded something. Like, literally, it was like,
wow,
one, two.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't listen to I don't know if it's because I'm so busy all the time at the moment, and sure. I have been the last few months, sure. but I don't listen to all that much audio because I just don't right. have time. And like, so I basically what I tend to do is I'll find there'll be a point where I've got like, okay, I've got like 2 or 3 days free. And then I'll mm-hmm. be like, right, I'm going to like find a bunch of audios that I really want to listen to. And then over the course of those few days, I'll listen to them all. So I don't tend to make it through a lot of audio myself, which is something I really regret, actually. Like, I wish I had more time to listen to more.
Yeah.
But it's genuine. Even when I feel like I have time, it's finding a space yes. where I'm like, okay, I'm not only do I have time, but also I'm in the mood. Because those two things absolutely. Often don't
lining
always
it
like
up.
Line up.
Yeah, right.
But I always love it when I do listen. So
I find that really interesting that it's a new space in general for you, as both a creator and a listener. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, especially Twitter. I don't do social media, even in my like personal private life. I don't mm-hmm. do social media. I don't have right. a Facebook account. I don't have any social media platform,
Instagram or anything.
Because I find the concept of social media, of putting yourself on social media, a terrifying Orwellian prospect that genuinely it genuinely petrifies me. I avoid it like the plague. So
how has that been in your Twitter space then? Because I follow you, I see that you're quite sort of not prolific, but you're posting quite regularly. I'm noticing, and it might be, I think perhaps our time zones, given where we are, I think you might be posting as I'm either waking up, maybe as you're going to bed. I don't know, but I do see your posts.
I find it a lot more comfortable with an alias.
Sure.
Because there's none of
the anonymity of it.
Yeah, it's anonymous, so I don't feel like I'm feeding into the corporate kind of, you know, hive mind so much. Although there was a scary moment this morning where I was like, I've woken up and I was like, I need to do some yoga. I mentioned it to a friend in a DM, and then I opened up YouTube to pull up like a video, and the top advert the second I opened it was like, hey, do some yoga. I was like, oh my god.
She's like, god damn, Big Brother.
Horrifying.
Right.
So I'm still like really nervous about that kind of stuff. And I don't know how much of it is coincidence and you just notice the times that it happens and you don't notice the times that it doesn't or whatever, but it does spook the shit out of me. With an alias I'm a lot more comfortable with it. I'm also aware that like in order to kind of maintain an engagement level, I have to kind of keep going, and I'm enjoying it. You know, I've gotten a lot from it. Like not to get too heavy, but I was in a relationship a few years ago, quite a few years ago now, which did a lot of work towards destroying my confidence. So it sucked, but it's all good. But Twitter has weirdly, I never would have thought it could have, but has actually, I say Twitter has done this. Twitter hasn't done anything. Twitter's been a platform. The people on Twitter have have really brought a lot of that confidence back.
So, I'm so pleased to hear that, because we often just hear, you know, the negative side of the impact of social media. Yeah. But I think in this space, it really does. And particularly with the anonymity of it all, but it does create an environment which we can, like, even though people don't know us, their response to us still matters. It still has an impact, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's a weird one because it's like, you know.
Yeah. Are there things that you've posted on Twitter, actually, that you just think, oh, that was a bit too much, or that was a little bit too revealing, or... you found your comfort level?
I get like real weird about the stupidest stuff. Like, I put out a picture recently. So I've recently launched my tier support thing, but I think if I'm honest, I'm probably going to move over to Patreon because Buy Me a Coffee is like a weird thing, platform, whatever.
Yeah.
But I did this post and it was like, I was wearing like just a gown, basically. And I was like, oh, if you want to see what's underneath, I'm posting for my, you know, for my tier subscribers or whatever. And then I was like looking at it, and I was like, I was like, there are two very like definite markings on this gown that I'm wearing. Yeah. I was like, if anyone knows that I have that gown, and a few people do, they could quite easily recognize me from that. Like, and then I was like, that is so specific. Do you know? But it's such a stupid fear to have, because it's like, you know.
Well, I don't think so. If because you're thinking that, you know, in potentially doxing yourself, you know, the impact, and that's something I wanted to talk about, but I don't think that's stupid or irrational at all, because if people are, you know, knocking around their space and do recognize it, then, you know.
I suppose that's the thing, like, I try to be careful, but I also try not to, like, worry myself too much. I'm very careful about, like, not revealing my face and stuff. I don't think I ever will. But I know people sometimes ask about it, but I probably will never do that. I might send the occasional slightly revealing thing through like Snapchat, maybe, but I don't know. maybe.
Yeah,
it's a funny world, isn't it?
It is. Is there any part of it that sort of concerns you for the long term? In, you know, people taking screenshots or keeping things. I guess if once it's out there, it's out there, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't post anything that I'm like, I wouldn't. I don't post anything that hasn't. Like, that people won't have. I mean, so when I was younger, I used to have an Instagram account. I don't have it anymore. But I put, you know, like, workout progress photos on that, which was just me in underwear. Right. So, like, you know, I'm not too worried in, I know the context is different, but, like, in terms of my actual body, I'm not that concerned about, like, putting that out there. I think, like, there are definitely certain things where I'm like, this is probably identifiable if someone knew me, but the chances of someone I know coming across it are probably reasonably small. You know, I don't have like a million followers on Twitter. You know, I think I'm like under 500 still. So, you know, it's like, I think in terms of like the number of people in the world and the number of people that follow me on Twitter, it's pretty unlikely. I mean, it could happen, and I'll deal with that if it does, but I think for the most part,
would it have a serious sort of say a work colleague, you know, put it all together and went, hey, I heard this, or I recognized your voice in this, and is this you?
I mean, I suppose how would that with all of it, I have plausible deniability with all of it. I could just be like, that's just someone who sounds like me, who looks a bit like me. There's no actual picture of their face. Like, you can't prove it's me, so you can't get me fired. I also believe that, you know, people should be entitled to do whatever they want in their private lives, so long as they're not hurting anyone else. So if anybody was like, oh, I think what you're doing is wrong, then actually what that would tell me is that that person was somebody who shouldn't be in my life anyway. Ultimately, you know, I want to avoid that embarrassment.
I can understand.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, like, if, you know, if a friend of mine found the, you know, like, for an M sub audio or something, and was like, oh, I bet this is you, I'd be like, well, you can't prove it.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I this doesn't sound anything like me. What are you talking about? I sound like this. you know. So there's no like massive repercussions if it does come out. I suppose the only thing is that I, as part of my job, I sometimes, and this is, you know, part of the reason why I'm very clear on what I will and won't do, because I get commission requests sometimes. None have asked me for this yet, but I do get commission requests, and I've been very clear, like, I think about what I won't do. But I do sometimes in my job work with kids. So there is like a thing that's most
there are
of
hard
the
limits.
Yeah, and then that's most of the reason why I'm as anonymous as I am, is that obviously what you don't want is linking things
Honest,
back
yeah.
because
yeah
like you know I've worked in scenarios where, you know, a student has gotten a crush on me and we've had to address it. Do you know what I mean? And like, if there's more fuel to that, if they can link stuff online with sexual to me. So I'm very, very clear about like what I won't do, mindful of that and mindful of those two worlds not crossing over, because the last thing
absolutely I want,
and actually that is probably my major concern with like content is what is accessible by minors. So someone has asked me to do some work with them on something, and part of that is them putting content out on TikTok, and I'm a little bit hesitant regarding that because like I made a TikTok for my thing and then I've never used it really because I was like, this is, I don't, you know, this is a platform that is used by so many minors. I cannot, like Reddit, okay, a minor could make an account that says they're over 18 and then access my content. They could do that. There's no way of me stopping them.
No, but a minor can get on Pornhub.
But a minor can also get on Pornhub, But all I can do is take as many precautions and as many steps as I can at my end to make sure that they don't access it. So that's my major concern, safeguarding.
Yeah, and that's really valid, isn't it? It's when minors are involved, I had somebody actually quite openly comment only just the other day, and I've never had this before. And just say, well, I'm 17 and I listened to it. I went, you need to leave now. Yeah. This is, you know, an 18 plus Reddit page and you are not welcome here. And I reported them straight away. But they then went and replied and said, well, I listened to it. I'm not going to die. And I said, yep, you're, and I didn't engage it.
Yeah.
You know, clearly it's reported it and it was removed. But to openly just say, well, I'm 17. You really want my attention, don't you?
You know, that's also like the dumbest thing
to do. I know.
I'm going to just out myself as underage.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking to get banned.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, you're right. There's only so much we can do as you know, contributors to this space and ensuring that security
and I think it is important that we do everything we can do because you're right, there is a limit to what we can do, but it's important that we do everything that we can within our power to do it. And I sometimes, and I won't name anyone, I'm not interested in drama or whatever, but sometimes I see, like, you know, especially on Twitter, those who don't have, you know, very clear like indicators of do not access my content if you're under 18, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, as the adults in this situation, we have to do everything within our power to prevent that.
Yes, so, yeah, I agree.
We've gotten like into a really in-depth conversation on minors.
Well, no, I think it's all valid and relevant and in our roles. And there's a certain amount of responsibility, I think, that we have.
Because, I mean, ultimately, you know, the minors are the minors. They're the ones who are at risk.
Yeah.
They are the you know.
Yes.
And while we might think, like, you know, I worry, oh, God, what if, you know, minor accesses my content and then tries to get me taken down or whatever, like that is a very small, relatively small concern with actually like, oh, I just don't want minors accessing my content. I don't want them to feel encouraged to do that. I want them to feel discouraged and prevented. So I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I guess sort of moving on from that and the type of content that you record, so you've got a hard limit with regards to
age play
and anything involving minors.
Yeah.
Are there, have you found, like, with your followers or your listeners, is there a particular genre or a niche that you've kind of settled into, or do you have a fairly sort of broad range?
I try not to pigeonhole myself too much. I like to try new stuff. I literally yesterday released my first ever Pet Play audio. Pet Play is a kink that I have, like, admittedly no experience with. It's not something I've ever had a chance to try it in real life. A lot of the stuff
that challenge you? Did that you know, did that really sort of push your creative?
I mean, luckily I had a script to go from. Like, I found a good script offer and did that, and that was helpful. But getting the tone right, I think, was really important to me. I didn't want to sound like I didn't want it to sound like just a general dom sub dynamic. I wanted it to feel like pet play. I wanted someone who's who's confident with pet play and experience with pet play to feel like, oh, this was for me. And whether or not I achieved that, I have no idea. But I've had some nice feedback from it, so that's great.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah. And are you discovering any sort of new in keeping your options or your range quite broad then? Are you discovering any new kinks or things that you've sort of fallen into and just think, oh yeah, I kind of dig this. This is good. Is there anything new that's come up for you?
I think a lot of what I thought I liked has been cemented. Like, there's a lot of things that I was like, I think maybe I like this, and then I'll hear an audio about it, or I'll get involved with something, like a little interaction with someone on Twitter or something, and I'll be like, oh yeah, no, I'm super into this. I think the thing that has mostly come out of it is I didn't realize how much I knew I liked it, but I didn't realize how much I like hypnosis audio and the whole concept of that. Like, I think like the idea of literally reprogramming someone's mind to be like, you know, your perfect little plaything or whatever, and I'm like, okay, this is, I knew this was like hot, but I've never really like engaged in it that much. And then I listened to a couple of audios and I made a couple of audios and I was like, oh no, this is fucking smoking.
this is so good.
It's so good. And also just like, you know, it's quite vain, I think. But like the response that I got from the big hypnosis audio I made, where it's like, you know, someone would be like, oh my God, like my brain's gone empty and all this stuff. And there's like a whole thing in that hypnosis audio. I don't know if you've heard it or not, but basically there's a whole thing in it. I do this kind of repeated mantra thing, and it's like, when I put my hand on your shoulder, you will do this. When I put my hand on your shoulder, you will become this. When I put my hand on your shoulder, you will think this. And like, and I go through it and go through
it. I'm just searching right now. How was that for you? Like, were you immersed in it yourself as you were, was it a script?
It was a bit of original content. I kind of I scripted bits and pieces, and it's to date the biggest editing job that I've done on anything. And it's like lots and lots of binaural stuff. It's whispers. It's there's some kind of like low pulsing audio underneath it all. Like you know, it's supposed to be designed to both relax you and also turn you on. And reprogram your brain in a way that, and obviously, you know, there's a kind of, I can just hear you typing.
I am. No, nothing to see here. What was that?
Obviously I understand that, like, you know, hypnosis is a thing that only works with certain people, and it like takes a lot more than just like one audio for it to function. But it can really like, you know, in that moment it can have quite a great effect, and I got a lot of gratification going like, oh, I'm like brain empty. And then I would like send them a little message that just said like, I put my hand on your shoulder or whatever.
Oh, you did not?
Oh yeah. 100%.
Are we gonna run with this now?
I loved it. Like, and I would mostly do it as like you know, someone would comment publicly on the Reddit, and I would comment publicly back saying, I put my hand on
I'm
your
seeing
shoulder,
it here, like, puts my hand on your shoulder and squeezes. Just like,
and people just losing it. And genuinely, like, it gave me so much joy. Like,
it's very gratifying, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
To know that you've had that impact, like, you've had quite a visceral impact on. On us, and particularly to for it to have been, you know, original content, I think. I write scripts and record for commissions, but also behind some paywalls and on consignment, and it's almost work for me. I much prefer to fill a script. But what is your sort of percentage there? How's your split between sort of improv and original content and doing script fills?
You know, it's funny. Like I because of the nature of my work, I actually don't have like one employer. I work contract to contract, so my schedule changes like all the time. Like, and sometimes I'm working weekends, sometimes I'm working weekdays, like, so whatever it is.
Yeah.
So the time that I have available to record changes constantly. And sometimes I'll have like 2 weeks that's like chocker and I won't be able to get anything done, and then I'll have like a week where I get loads of time. So typically what I do is I record like the vocals for like 6 or 7 script fills like in a day. Like I will just smash them out. And I might stop doing that because I think I noticed that the quality drops by like the 3rd or 4th recording because I'm tired or something, so I might stop doing that. But but I would say it's quite a balance. It's interesting actually. I got this like new mic and everything, and I you know, I've been like really working on like trying to pile some really high quality script fills. They never do as well as the stuff that I just record on my phone.
It's always the way, right? It's like, always freaking way. The ones you put the most effort into, you think it's going to be a banger. You're just like,
And
no.
It never hits the same way. But I mean, I just have my first
audio
hit.
It's like you say, fickle.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what it... I wonder what maybe if it's like... if there's a truth... If there's like a real truth or an honesty to... just recording something into, I mean, the audio, I've just had my first audio go over 1,000 upvotes.
I saw that. Congratulations. That's a massive achievement.
Yeah, I'm so pleased. But it was literally...
You should be. That's really brilliant. Yeah.
It was one that I recorded that I just mounted my flashlight and started fucking it and started and hit record. There was no, you know, and then I literally just, I was recording on my phone, so I uploaded it straight to SoundGasm, stuck it on the internet, and like, and that's the one.
Yeah.
And then my hypnosis one, I probably about 6 hours of work into, and like, do you know, and it's done well, but it's like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I literally don't get it, but I'm so grateful either way.
Yeah, right. Those ones that sort of, I'm looking, so you've done, oh, hang on now. Have you done many Ramble Faps? I'm wondering if that's the difference. That's the kicker.
A few, I've done a few. They don't always do great. That one and the last one I did pretty well. Then I did one that was I did one that was an OC that was improvised. That was, that was them, Let Me Show You Why I Work Out or something, I think it's called. And it's like, it starts with like me finishing off a bunch of push-ups. And I'm like, I think I was like, 100. Like, because I thought it would be funny.
I love it.
You know, it's like that bit in Anchorman where he's like, 10,000.
Yeah, yes, 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 totally.
I thought it would be, I can't remember how many I say I do. I think I can physically do quite a few push-ups. Like, not loads, not hundreds, but, you know, I'm quite fit.
You're capable. Yes. I kind of get that impression from your posts. Yeah. Yes.
But I didn't, like, you know what I mean? I didn't actually do like 100 push-ups or whatever. But then I
could. Could you imagine that into the mic? It's like, that's a whole different genre of audio. Oh, I think just like post workout recovery audio. Yeah.
I should start a new genre.
Maybe you should.
But that one did really well. I think that one like fell just shy of 1,000 upvotes, and I think got like 30,000 listens on SoundGasm or something.
Wow! Wow! That's incredible. Yeah,
I mean, I think it's wild, but like, but that one again was like improvised in the moment. Like, I knew basically what I wanted to do with it, but I just kind of like, I was like, oh, it would be fun if I just did this audio that was like,
yeah,
you know, a bit of a workout, and then I'm like, oh, come here, baby girl, like, I'll show you why I work out, so I can lift you up and throw you around and make you feel small.
Yeah.
And I thought that was like, that was literally the concept I had for that going in, and then I just winged it and recorded it, and it did really well. Which I'm obviously like pleased about.
So with regards to your audience and the response that you get, you also, I noticed you also do M4M content.
I have done
locked
one
into the female audience.
I've done one M4M script that was a commission, and I honestly loved making it. like it's one of my favorite ones I've made.
Partly
the person who wants to remain anonymous, who commissioned it, was just like super sweet, really understanding about my time restraints, like really easy to work with, just like a really, really great person. They knew what they wanted, but they were really open with being like, hey, just, you know, give it your normal spin, do what you want to do with it. And they gave me like enough constraints to work within that I was like, okay, cool, I know what I'm doing, but like I can be really creative with this. And I loved it, like I really, really loved it, and I'm definitely going to make more.
M for M content,
more M for M content. I think like also the feedback that I've had from that has just been like really lovely as well in every community that like it has been in. It's been really lovely received in a really lovely way. So I'm really proud of it, and I'm really happy with that. And I'd only really put off doing M for M content because I didn't really know what was good as M for M content. I didn't know what would be enjoyed and like what
would appeal.
Because like, I mean, I'm so sexually, I'm I don't really like labels very much at all. I understand that they're really like really useful for communicating stuff, but also like I just don't like them because I don't ever feel like they fit
also
into them.
Quite restrictive in some ways
for sure.
Yeah,
but I would say like I'm closest to like I don't know, I don't, like pansexual, I suppose. I don't really define my interests by gender. If there's a personality or a body or like whatever it is that I like, then I like it, and I try not to think too hard about it, because I think like it's just easier to be like I like people
I like what I like. I'm not limited.
Having said that, I don't have a lot of experience with men in real life. I have some, but not much. So I didn't, you know, my audio for women comes from quite a wealth of knowledge from my own life or experience from my own life. Whereas for men, I don't know so much because I haven't experienced it so much. So I guess that was like scary for me. It was like, I didn't really know where to start. But actually the commission was like a really nice way of getting into it because
a soft landing in a way into the space, into that M for M space then.
Exactly. They told me exactly what they wanted and that also gave me room to play, and then that gave me more ideas, and then I was like, oh great, now I'm really cooking with gas.
Is there anything that you are keen to explore in terms of the types of audios or like topics or kinks or genres that you haven't yet?
I don't know. Like, I think there's always new stuff to explore. I can't think of like anything in particular that I'm like, oh, I haven't done that yet and I really want to. I mean, like, I was super keen on doing some pet play stuff purely because I thought it was be an interesting opportunity for me to learn, and I love learning. I'm really keen on that. I'm really keen on exploring that more. I'd also like to do maybe some harder stuff, maybe. I don't tend to do a lot of like really aggressive or like firm or like generally speaking my content I think is quite soft. I've got some audios that aren't, but like I'd say majoritively I do soft content. It's always like boyfriend experiences or like, you know,
you're a gentle dom, would that be right?
I think it's funny, there's a kind of switch that happens at some point. In my real life, like I would say that in when I've been in relationships or when I've been in dynamics, if I'm, you know, just exploring things sexually with someone, then, you know, I tend to be very, I would say, quite caring and quite, like, attentive. But then we get in the bedroom and there's, like, a kind of switch that happens. And some of the stuff that I've done in the bedroom is, I once, I'm running a series at the moment for my, I'm going to just say Patreon. It's not Patreon, but it's mm-hmm. just, that's like
the, I know what you mean. Your platform, yes.
Which is stories. I basically, I get in the bath with a bottle of wine and I tell stories, sexual stories about my past. And it's been a lot of fun so far. And there's one that I'm going to do soon, which is I went to a Halloween party dressed up as Sweeney Todd.
Right.
And I had the cutthroat razors. I ended up in bed with someone that evening and we got frisky with some knife play.
Right.
Including the cutthroat razors. And
right.
There's a whole story to it. Obviously, you know, we were safe and everything. Nobody was hurt more than they wanted to be.
Exactly. Unless they wanted to be. Yeah.
but yeah, there's like a lot of, so there's a lot of stuff that I call on in my personal life or like from my history that I can be like, okay, cool. I can make an audio about this.
You can draw on that. Yeah.
There's an audio I've been wanting to make for ages, like ages and ages and ages. Which I'm going to make at some point, hopefully maybe like this week or next week, I'm going to get it recorded. And it's literally just about having the most fucking annoying neighbor. but ironically, every time I went to record it, my neighbor was being so fucking loud, I couldn't get it recorded. So there's that to look forward to.
Could this potentially be a hate fucking audio?
I don't want to give too much away, but okay. I would say that
we'll leave that mystery out there.
A million miles away. Enemies to lovers might be one of the tags.
Oh, I love a good hate fuck audio. I've only done a couple, and it's just screaming hot.
I'd say, answer your question properly, I think that is probably the type of audio that I'm most excited about making that I haven't yet. I think like I've never really done like that much antagonistic audio, and actually I find the power dynamic in that really, really Ooh. Fucking sexy.
Ooh.
Like,
oh good lord,
I
yes.
love fantasy around like around fantasy, you know, like the idea of like a fucking hot ass warrior getting, you know, like getting
kicked
or whatever, you know, like, I don't know what it is, there's something about like powerful people having their power stripped away and like
absolutely I get it. I did one not too long ago, a secret beast script. It was called Queen Bee, where I was the student of I forget what year level it was, in college. But just totally dominated a TA, and it was just wonderful and very just, and it gets mean, it gets really mean, and I was like, I am fucking here for this.
I'm so agreeing.
Yeah, and there's something about that switch in the power dynamic that I'm just like, and it did really well. I didn't anticipate that, but it seemed to, it hit a chord with a lot of people, because I don't do a lot of firm dom, but when I do, it's just like, whoa.
I mean,
I'm almost like to a point where I need a little bit of a sleep aid afterwards or some aftercare for myself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the thing with me as well, you know, like I'm typically in my life, like, and with most of my interactions, I'm quite a dominant person. But if I find someone who can bring it, because I am a switch, like if I can find someone who can bring that out of me, I switch hard. Like, oh my God. I think that's what a lot of, you know, people like me or, you know, whoever it is, I think people love that. People love being dominant in their life and then being kind of pushed into that submissive space. Like if you have to be
relinquishing control, it's so liberating. Yeah.
I mean, I almost
don't
I kind of, and this might sound bad or sound worse than it is, but I kind of like to be forced into it. Like I don't like to give it up. It's a real dilemma with me, because like I get into like you know, I'll like be playing with someone and I'll like, you know, they'll be quite soft with me and they'll be like, oh, you know, they know that I want to submit, but like they go about it quite like a gentle way. And I'm like, if you don't smother me And when I'm weak, sit on my face and hold me down.
Yeah.
I am not going to let you top me. Like, it's not going to happen.
Oh, see, then it's on. Then it is on for young and old. Just like, fucking get on your knees now.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, isn't that funny how that sort of dynamic? It really is. I think it's that sort of bratty behavior as well. Yeah. Well, you're not being a brat. No, that's not right. But
I guess I
totally get where you're coming from. Well,
in a way.
But you want to be pushed into that, right? Yeah. Just like, no, be firmer, be harder. Yeah. Please.
And like,
just fucking do it already.
It's that balance, isn't it? Of feeling like safe with someone, like knowing that you're good, like knowing that they've got you, but also that they're prepared to push you.
Oh,
to where
yes.
you need to be.
Yeah.
And finding someone like that for me is quite difficult, I think. Like, because people want to be gentle with you. People want to be like, and I'm like, yeah, I
think there's
that.
A time and a place for that. Yeah. But sometimes you just want to subjugate and you just want to, well, I do, sorry, personally, but I think I understand exactly where you're coming from. It's like, I don't want to have to make any decisions. Yeah. Just tell me, push me, poke me, do it. Just do it. Someone else, just
do it.
Do it. Yeah.
Whatever it is,
please.
Do it.
Yeah, just do it. Take care of business, please. I totally get. But it's like finding someone who, you're right, who there's an underlying trust there. That's obviously essential to allow yourself to be so vulnerable and understanding what your, not so much your limits, but how much you want to be pushed. And I find that the whole space in that dynamic very fascinating and I am here for it. That's interesting to me that you would go from that gentle dom. You seem to be, like you say, a switch, I guess, for want of a better term.
I think, I think the one of the greatest things I've ever, heard, and it really helped me understand, I think, humanity in a way. Like, and that comes out in this particular zone, but also like in throughout the human experience. I think it was a. I think it was Brennan Lee Mulligan said, who's like, I don't know if you're aware. Basically, like a kind of a comedian and also like a D&D expert and like just like a kind of personality, but amazing. Said that people aren't the same every day. Like people have like a baseline and then they kind of. And I'm paraphrasing, but that people have like a baseline and then they kind of like diverge daily, like a little bit in either direction. And sometimes it's more and sometimes it's less. And I can, I think this, people are fluid. People are always a little bit different every day, a bit one way or a little bit another way. And to expect anyone to be like consistently one thing, I think is unrealistic. So I think the same thing carries out with sex. It's like, some days I will just I will want to put my hand on your shoulder and make you my little bitch. And some days I want you to sit on my face until I can't breathe and I have to tap out. Yeah. And then you do what you want. And, sometimes I want to be a soft arm and I want to guide you through everything. And then some days I want to destroy you. So I think it's about being, open to people being fluid and changeable and understanding that and understanding that I'm going to be fluid and changeable, so other people are going to be fluid and changeable, and just having a bit of understanding on both sides I think is really helpful.
Absolutely, yeah. And how wonderful is it in this space to have such an expansive range of kinks and topics and genres and scenarios, and that we can really find almost anything we want. And if we can't find it, we can request it if we haven't found it, or we can commission it. And to fulfill that need or that desire or that want. Or I'm finding myself, I didn't realize that, I probably lean a little bit more towards being submissive. And I kind of relish those interactions that I have being submissive. But then there are days when I'm just like, no, fucking get on your knees.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. It's just I love the versatility, I guess, that it affords me, and in terms of, you know, my own sexual outlet and expression. But yeah, you seem quite similar in that aspect. But I'm just having a look at Brendan Lee Mulligan right now, and
he's very smart.
That's so true.
Very good. Yeah. He says a lot of, I think, incisive is the right word. Incisive comments on, like, because he looks so much at characters, he understands the way that people work a lot of the time as well, I think. So I watch a lot of stuff that he puts out, even if it's like not relevant to something I'm interested in. I just kind of like watching his take on things, because he's a very smart person. Super interesting. And I think you're right. I think like there's so much scope for so much. I'm almost like, why would I want to be one thing? You know, like...
I
can enjoy like hypnosis audio, and the next day I can go on and enjoy like, I don't know, werewolf fucks a man bunny or something, you know, like whatever it is, like, and I can enjoy all of it if I'm in that mood. I haven't actually ever found an audio called Werewolf Fucks a Man Bunny, but now I want to make one.
You know that's going to be added to your list now. By the time this comes out, people are going to, where is that audio? Werewolf Fucks Man Bunny.
You know what will happen?
Where is the audio?
Guaranteed, I'll get a message from at least one person going, make Werewolf Fucks Man Bunny?
You mentioned this in an interview. Are we waiting?
I got so many messages on my last interview with James. People, I thought people would be furious with me, because basically, like, in the interview,
why is that?
I couldn't name 5 Beatles songs. I've got quite a bad memory anyway. I find it really hard to recall dates and names and faces and stuff. Like, not to go into too much detail, but I fell on my head when I was younger, and I do have like kind of a crap memory ever since then. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't remember it. I was fully expecting people to be like, oh my god, you're British and you can't name 5 Beatles songs. Nobody cared. The thing that people gave me a hard time about was not liking bananas. I was like, oh yeah, I don't like bananas.
You work out like a madman. How can you not eat bananas?
They're disgusting. It's like
eating, is it the texture?
Yeah, it's texture. It's like eating someone else's snot. It's horrible.
God, that's an awful visual.
It's fucking disgusting.
Yuck. Isn't that like, so do you not like avocado?
No,
then?
I love avocado. I love avocado.
Because that's not at all. No, I don't want to think about it. I don't even want to say it.
I absolutely love avocado. No, I don't know what it is about banana. It's just, it's not even the taste. I quite like the taste of banana. It's just the texture. But people were like, I got like at least 4 messages from people going, you don't like bananas? What the fuck is wrong with you? What's with all these? Are you all employed by banana companies or something?
What are you, the banana mafia? Yeah. What's the story? Just back it up.
What's going on here?
Peel your own. Back off. Would you blend? Do you blend them in a smoothie or anything?
I used to do that.
Is that palpable?
Yeah, I could do that if it was with like the right stuff.
Palatable. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
Good lord. But you'll eat an avocado. Fine.
But I won't eat a banana. You will not catch me eating a banana.
Don't come at me with a banana.
Not even seductively. And someone said that actually. They were like, "Oh, I can't believe you don't like bananas."
What if
I'm not going to eat bananas seductively. I was like, hang on, no, you can eat bananas seductively all you want, because I don't have to put them in my mouth. Like, I'll happily watch you eat a banana seductively, but I'm not fucking eating one.
It's not gonna happen, people.
I'll eat a
Let
carrot
it go.
Seductively, how about that? Just like slurp, 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 crunch.
How's that working out for your sound effects bank?
Such a good idea, actually.
There you go. Oh, look, all the ideas are coming now.
It wouldn't be the first time that I'd use fresh produce for a sound effect, I'll be honest with you. I know people don't like hearing about it, so I'm not going to say anything more because it ruins the magic.
I know, right? Yeah, see, I'm a big fan of the AMA and listen to, if anyone puts it out, I'm just like, yeah, I'm listening to it. And it's partly why I'm, you know, sort of doing this little side project, because I find them fascinating.
Yeah.
But yes, how you create sound effects. I'm interviewing some audio editing masters. Oh, I see them as masters. Yeah, just some editors and sound designers in this series. So, yeah, like how do I make this sound? I was like, how do I? And so, just but the stories between. I've spoken to other female VAs. I was like, how do I get that? And then it's like, you know that webbing between your thumb and your index finger? It's like, got it. And like, and how do I get that, you know, that sound? So I figured out, I asked an editor way back in the beginning. She's like, how do I get this? Do it. You know, that sort of thing.
That was
how does
good.
That happen? But, you know, I've had a bit of practice. Yeah. I actually don't do that. I don't do any, well, I don't edit and I don't use sound effects. So, but yeah, that whole fruit produce just it's real.
To some extent, I think I've kind of shot myself in the foot by doing so much editing, because now I get to an audio and I'm like, I do a script fill and I'm like, and they always say at the beginning, I'm like, oh, you know, sound effects are just like if you want to. Or I'm like,
optional.
I'm like, yeah, but they're not.
I've done. I'm like, you've set a standard now, haven't
literally,
you?
Literally, in the audio I uploaded yesterday. I had to, and I kind of had a bit of practice with this, but I was like, okay, so how do I make it sound like it's the party indoors and they're outside? And then as the door opens, I've got to mix the channel across to the other track where I've got it unedited. So I've like upped the bass boost on the, and taken all the, and I was like, oh my God. And I was like, and I figured out like quite a simple way of doing it now, but I was like, this is what I have to do now for every audio. Do you know what I mean? Because like this is the standard
I've
set.
You've knackered it now. Yeah. You've got to maintain that level.
There was one I did that was like, and it was a great script and I loved it. And it was like, oh, you know, you drive over and you pick someone up from the party they've been at, and then you drive out of the city to your house out in the suburbs, and like, and I was like, how the fuck do I make that soundscape? So I had this cross mix of like crickets chirping with like street like sound effects on free sound of like someone had gone out in the street and like recorded like a, you know, just like the audio of people on a night out or whatever. So I had like this crossfade as the car, plus the sounds of the car driving.
Oh,
like,
good Lord, y'all.
Like
that's
crossing, you know,
far too much work.
And then like there's a bit where like I open up the car window and it like you hear the and it comes out.
Yeah.
And then the sound gets louder as the window opens. And do you know what I mean? Like all that stuff.
So you got to fade it in. And
And it like, and it changes from like, you know, that kind of, you know, like when something's in the next room or like it's outside the car window and like you get the more of the bass and less of the treble.
Yeah.
And then like as the window opens, all the treble comes in and like, do you know, I'm like, oh my God. I was like, why have I done this to myself? Like, and I love it. And I love the way that it ends up sounding. But I just think, oh, brilliant. Fuck, why have I done this? So much work.
You really, it really hours. Is, isn't it? And this is what I did a commission recently, and it was two of me basically. Yeah. And there was one part where the second one of me gets in the car, because it's happening in a car, and I said, I think I might, because I had to listen. Oh, I hate listening to myself, but I had to listen. And I went, toddled off to free sound and found a car door opening and, you know, managed to slot it in. And just went, that sounds really fucking good.
Yeah.
Actually, that's so good. And got a little bit excited. But I was like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Because if I start doing it.
And that's it. Expectations.
That's it. I'm knackered then. But you're right. In your sort of process of recording multiple scripts or multiple audios in a day, I haven't done it for a while because I've been a little bit busy. I've had a little bit on, but I usually would record just a couple of times a week, four or five at a time. But because I don't edit, it really was just record, upload, and then post over the coming days.
Yeah.
So, but the editing, like even just putting in that, you know, 1.4 seconds of car door open, close.
It really
and you've just talked about all of that. Like, that's hours of work, right? But you must get an immense amount of satisfaction out of it.
Yeah. I mean, like, if it comes to... It's funny, and that's kind of part of the reason why, like, I think it's hilarious that the ones that do the best are the ones where I just record on the phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, now I've got all this, like, equipment, I've got the mic, you know, like, because I upgraded my mic, like, part of the way through the journey, like, because I was like, I want it to sound really good and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And none of it's really made... like the difference maker has been, like, I suppose my confidence in it rather than the equipment or anything else. Like, and it's and that's partly why I'm like, you know, the ones that I put like 6 hours into, like, or editing and like recording multiple times and like making sure everything's just right, you know, I'll get like, and you know, and I don't resent any number of votes or likes. Or if one person gets a kick out of it, then that's amazing.
Happy days,
but, but like, you know, there was one that I did that was like so much work, and it was like, you know, I think it topped out at like 150 upvotes or something, which is actually like still really good. But I'm like, and then I do one that's just literally like me moaning into a mic into my phone for like 3 minutes. And it gets like 400, and I'm like, why did I put all that work?
Yes, like, just sort of, that's yet a little disproportionate. It would seem just like the effort you've put into it
a little bit, but also I'm just kind of proud of the work. Like, I think 50% of it is what other people think, and 50% of it is what I think. And like, if I really enjoy making something and I think it's good and I like it, then it's worth it, I suppose.
I guess because I don't do the other. One thing I have been working on a little bit recently, and I wanted to ask you about, is the whole collaboration concept and working with other creators, be they an MF script or a MM script. Is that something that's sort of in your future, or have you done any?
I haven't done it. I've got none published yet. So I have said this.
I know there was sort of some inference of you and Shin's doing something. I think I might have been, you know, waving that flag quite strongly. Just saying. And actually, I have a script for you if you did think about that. Just dropping Shin's in it right in the middle of this right now. And if you're listening to this in the future, which you will be,
so
hey, look it up.
I really want to work with Shin's. I think that they we do have something.
Good Lord, you will melt the internet.
We have. Okay. We might have something in the works.
Okay.
The problem I've had is that basically when it was suggested, we talked a little bit about it. Obviously, his recording schedule. That's not the problem at the moment. The problem is my recording schedule, and I'm quite far behind on the content that I'm already got that I'm trying to get out. Yeah. So there will be something.
It's availability, right?
Yeah. Like,
oh well, that's very exciting
to
hear.
But there will be something from me and Shin's. Hopefully before Christmas, I would hope. But we're both very chill people, and we've kind of, I think.
It happens when it happens.
Yeah,
right?
We're both in the understanding that it will happen. It's just when is up in the air at the moment. But yeah, like I'm all for collaboration. I think for me, because of my schedule, like it's I'm kind of like really grateful that we got the time to do this, because
I actually had
some time today to do this, so that was good. But because I'm self-employed,
generally
my schedule's just all over the place, and very often you know, things come up last minute, or like you know, the time that I have available just isn't like really, especially like, you know, when you're trying to collab with people, often like some of them are in Australia, some of them are in the United States, some of them are in the UK. Yeah. So time differences can be like a real killer.
I have all these different time zones on my phone, on my world clock. I've got different cities dotted across each of the five US time zones. And I've got the UK time zone, and I've got Central Europe, and I've even got India's time zone. just like, what's the time in Portland? What's the time in New Delhi? Oh, bloody hell, what's the time in Gothenburg in Sweden?
And I think that's part of probably why I haven't. And also, like, I haven't actually been asked to do collabs very much.
I can rectify that.
I genuinely haven't been asked to work with it. Like, me and Shin's had a conversation about it, and like, I think maybe one other person has brought it up before, but like, generally speaking, people don't ask me. And I don't know why that is. I feel like other people are always collaborating, and I'm like, why does no one ask me?
What about me?
What have I done wrong?
I'm just sitting here in the corner.
I do wonder sometimes whether it's like a I don't know whether people just think like, oh, you know, it just would be weird to have like an American voice and a British voice maybe in the same.
Oh, hell no.
That would be weird.
But. Oh, no, no. Please wash that thought from your mind. I've done a few collabs in the past couple of months. And I pried two of them. I spearheaded big time. I wanted an international cast.
Yeah.
It was a 4F for M. And so we had a Brit, myself, an American, and a Russian.
Yeah, that's cool.
One of them. We had the same sort of. I have two particular friends that I do had done a number of collabs with, a Brit and an American, and so one audio we roped in a Brazilian.
Oh wow!
So I'm thrilled at the whole opposing or differing. Sorry. Accents.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I don't think it's a case of nobody's asking you, y'all. I think it's just, this is something that Shins and I talked about. You would have heard that, you know, I just don't think there are as many multiple male scripts out there.
Yeah.
Although one got posted a couple of days ago that is 4F for M, and I did a little happy dance here in the Wicked Wardrobe. I was just like, please, oh, good Lord, please, four of you get together and record this because it is incredible.
Well, funnily enough, I heard an amazing audio, and it genuinely is probably one of my favourite audios I've ever heard.
Mm.
And it was like 4M. It was like four male, but it was a Resident Evil parody
thing
that they did for Halloween, and it was like,
yes,
you know, it was like it was 4M. I think it was like a gay audio, and genuinely, I don't know if it was like just how good the performances were, or like the excellent referencing. Because it was like, and all the sound effects that they'd taken from the original game and stuff, like,
wow.
But it was so funny, and it was so good,
really?
And it was so ridiculous. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, the zombies are coming around the corner. Oh shit, we better have an orgy with the zombies, and then they have like the most, like the worst, like the most horrible orgy sound effects, but like really over the top, but really funny and really well done.
Yeah, entertaining, right? And that's just like what. Wow.
It was so good, but I contacted the person who put it out, and I was like, look, this was incredible. I loved it. And just so you know, I can do like a not too terrible impression of Leon S. Kennedy from the sequels.
Okay.
So if you're ever making this kind of thing again.
if you're looking, I'm available.
If you're looking for a cop from the Raccoon Police Department, that is me. So
I got you.
Yeah, I would love to be involved in the sequel to that audio, because it genuinely, it brought so, I've not listened to something, you know, like when you go to a comedy show and you laugh out loud, and it's part of it's because like you're with people and like people laugh as a group. I was listening to this audio and I was genuinely bellowing with laughter listening. It was so good. So I'm like, that's my plug for the day, is go find that audio.
How brilliant. Can you send me the link to it?
I'll
put it in the post body.
I'll find it. It's so good.
Well, that'll be really funny to listen to.
It's hilarious.
I occasionally come across, and I don't listen to shit posts really, but I by accident recorded one myself, and without revealing the script, I messaged the script writer and she went, oh, I know this wasn't meant as a shit post, but this is what I've done. So sorry if I'm offended. That's due to come out on Australia Day, which is 26th of January. I'm sometimes you just got to laugh, right?
Yeah.
You've got to laugh.
I mean, I've started trying to keep my bloopers, because I do it as additional content on my thing. And I had one that I managed to like keep, because I've had a few over the time that have been like, oh, fuck, I should have kept that. But I had one that came up recently that I put on my tier thing, which was when I was making the M for M one. And I have like a vibrator that that I use to like perform oral sex sounds on, and I accidentally turned it on while it was in my mouth, because because it was like the button on it was just in a place where I was holding it, and it just went through my teeth. Oh my god! And I just I start laughing in the blooper. I genuinely, like, I was like, okay, cool, I'm keeping this one this time. There's no way I can't not have that. It's genuinely hilarious, just the thought. I don't know if it's funnier that it just happened. Like, I don't know if it was funnier that it happened to me in the room, or whether it is actually genuinely funny to listen to, but I thought it was.
I'm sure it would be hilarious to listen to. Just you explaining it is funny, but I get it. I must, this is where it sort of bites me a little bit because I don't edit. I just, occasionally I have stopped and like if I've mispronounced a word, then I'll go back and I'll cut that bit, clip that bit out. But you know, I do remember reading a script and it was one where I'd misread the tags, because the other thing is I don't read the script before I record it. So I misread the tag. I just sort of go off the tags and the synopsis.
Yeah.
So I misread the tag of little, and I went, oh, okay. I got sort of halfway through it. She went, okay, let's go and get your onesie. And I remember saying, and I recorded, saying, no, we're not getting a onesie. We're going to get you some man pajamas. What the fuck? And I just was fumbling on my Mac, which is like, what the fuck? A onesie? Just like, I'm not brushing his teeth. No, I'm not. No. And I thought, oh, I think back to that and think, oh, I probably should have kept that because it was so ludicrous. Just, it was my realization that's like,
oh, shit.
Oh, that's what little space means. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, little space and I don't work too well.
That's so good.
I'm not brushing his teeth.
I'm not brushing his teeth. Fuck you on about.
Fuck off. Yeah, fuck off. This is not happening. Get some man pajamas on you.
Grow up, you little shit.
That's it. Snap out of it. Yeah. You're 37 years old. You know, just but yeah, I do wish I'd kept that one. Maybe there'll be more. Undoubtedly, there will be more. I find in the collabs, actually, because I do live collabs, I think I mentioned to you before we started recording, that, good Lord, the banter that happens when, particularly if there's three or sometimes four of us, it's, Jesus, we are the funniest people in the world in our own mind, and those sort of outtakes between recording. But yeah, there's,
I think it's a,
you got to laugh.
Yeah, it's a really good way of blowing off steam during it, isn't it?
Like,
if you can't laugh about it, then
yeah,
you know, you're probably
just like,
taking
you're
it
in the wrong
seriously.
Space. Yeah.
It's a very silly thing, isn't it? Like,
oh, it really is. We moan into a microphone to please other people and ourselves. I do appreciate the space. And Yael, I want to thank you for being here today and sitting down and having a chat.
Thank you for having me in this intimate wardrobe.
Little wicked wardrobe, which is... I really want to open the door because the air conditioning is on in the larger room.
Sorry, I just realised I've had my
get
hand
out of here.
Under your ass the whole time, but I was too polite to say anything at the beginning. As you came in after me, it ended up under there, and I was too awkward to say anything.
Well, you know, just... Well, we made do, didn't we, really? And just, as long as it doesn't end up on my shoulder, I'm good.
You haven't listened to the audio yet? I'll wait until you have.
No, I haven't. Oh, good Lord, I'm going to have to brace myself, aren't I? Oh, boy. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for
having
me. This
has been wonderful, and I'm sure it will... give a little more insight to your process and what motivates you in this space. I also think that in these interviews being put out there, that who knows, we may encourage someone else to say, you know, I'm going to have a crack at that.
Yeah, for sure. And I would say, like, definitely do, because, you know, it's a very liberating experience. If you're listening to this and you're thinking about doing it, give it a go, because it's very liberating. You get a lot of the stuff that you've got inside you out, and sometimes just hearing it out loud is really therapeutic as well.
Oh, right. Yeah, the cathartic process of it all. I appreciate it very much. Mm. And there is an amazing creator community here. Yeah. I'm very proud to be a part of and to have met some really wonderful and inspiring people. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's been fun.
Yeah, it's been
great. Thank you for getting in my ears. And no doubt I will see you in the wild.
Oh, definitely.
Take care.
Take care of yourself.